Today on Real Radio.
The church, if it's going to be theologically correct, will not be politically correct. Those two common grounds are areas where they can never meet. It's like oil and water.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a series that takes a real close look at verses 18 and 19 of the second chapter, where John uses two terms that really should concern every true follower of Jesus Christ: Antichrist, singular, and Antichrists, plural. The text indicates that every Antichrist looks and behaves and sounds like us, while never being of us in the first place. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his mini-series called Who is Antichrist?
1 John chapter 2, and we are in part 2 of a message that we find now in verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I'm going to read to you verse 18 and 19, but we're going to really be focusing on verse 18, though it's the part of the theme of what John's talking to us about. It's very, very important. He says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which you know that it is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. This is a hard statement. This is a radical thing that John is saying. Let me back it up by saying this. It is not popular in churches today to do church discipline. Pastors don't want to deal with it. Church elders don't want to deal with it. Because we somehow live in a church age that we think that somehow we are to be politically correct at all turns. That's impossible. The church, if it's going to be theologically correct, will not be politically correct. Those two common grounds are areas where they can never meet. It's like oil and water. But much of the modern day church has ingested this thing of compromise that we can't go out and obey the word where somebody might be offended. Paul the Apostle says if there's somebody that's ripping up the flock of God, Paul says expose them by name. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. They're rotten if they come against the work of God, to undermine, and in fact, to operate in the spirit of Antichrist. Jude tells us that in the last days, there will be those who attend church. Not only attend church, but there will be those who will occupy the pulpit, the mission field office, who are renegades of the gospel. They're men whose God is their belly. They live off the monthly support of widows and people who believe that the gospel maybe should go out to the world, or that church should be sponsored, or maybe that televangelist should be on the air. And they give their money, their pension check, their little check that comes in. Many, many old people give money to, quite frankly, a lot of shysters that you can, more often than not, turn or tune into on TV. These guys live in an incredible multi-million dollar homes while grandma gives a bit of her pension. The Bible warns us that in the last days these charlatans would come. And John is teaching us that they come in the spirit of an Antichrist. They come in a spirit of rebellion. And to find out and to know what day and age you and I live in, John is implying here that we not only live in the last days, but we live in the last hour. You see, but Jack, he said that 2,000 years ago. Well, no kidding. How much of that hour is left? I think we're down to the last 5 minutes. Spiritually, A.W. Tozer says that the Christian church should live today as though it's 5 minutes to 12. Isn't that great? We need to be ready for the Lord's return. We talked about last week in part one of this message, who is Antichrist? We talked how prophecy is the defining factor of the true versus the false religions. The false religions, the cults, even the occult, they're going to have signs and wonders that are going to outdo what you find in church. If you're seeking signs and wonders and what's the latest and greatest goosebump generator on the block, oh, you can find a lot of those places. It's not important how high you can jump. It's how straight you walk after you land that counts. Isn't that true? There's a great balance to be open to the working of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and walking right and walking straight. You know, if you follow God and not man, you're going to be able to operate in all of the gifts and all of the power of the Holy Spirit, but not be a lunatic and be an offense when God's in control. But the Bible talks about, Paul told Timothy, there are those who talk about God, who even own a Bible, and you can find them trafficking in and out of church, but they deny the power thereof. They don't walk in the power of the Spirit. Why? Because they're false. But one of the most important ways to define the true from the false is not signs and wonders. We have deceptive days coming. It is the utterance and the declaration of prophecy. That's one thing, as we talked about last time, Satan cannot do. He cannot prophesy accurately. He can't do it. Well, what about Nostradamus, 73% accurate? 73% accurate qualifies him, according to the book of Deuteronomy, to get stoned. And I don't mean on drugs. Well, what about Gene Dixon? Give me a break. It's funny how people will pursue anything but Bible. 100% accurate. God's prophets are accurate. We're looking at what we talked about last time. We're going to recap it just for a moment and then dive into 10 factors that we were looking about concerning the spirit of Antichrist. In our last study together, we saw in verse 18 that he said, little children, it is the last hour. Made mention that we believe that throughout all of church history for the last nearly 2,000 years, every church generation has believed in the imminent return of Christ, the doctrine of imminency. I'm not talking about the doctrine of the second coming. That's something totally different. I'm talking about the doctrine of imminency. The disciples, for example, believed that John the Apostle was not going to die until Jesus returned. Now, they misunderstood something that Jesus had said, but they believed that he was coming back at any time. Paul the Apostle, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, made the declaration that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet our dead loved ones in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul believed in the imminent return of Christ, something different than the second coming. The Greek word you know is what? Anybody remember? Harpazo? How can you forget that word? Harpazo. Every time I hear that word, I think of a pizza company or something, you know. It's just such a great word, harpazo. I'll take two harpazos and sounds so edible. Harpazo in Greek is where we get the Latin word raptus or rapture, to be removed from the earth. The rapture of the church is something totally different than the second coming. In description, in scripture reference, in meaning, and in execution, completely different. John says we're living in the last hour, and John also says that we're little children. He doesn't mean to offend us, but the word here in the Greek for little children is little inexperienced ones. That's who we are. Well, you don't know me, Pastor Jack. I just got my degree from Biola or Talbot or from wherever. You know what? John says, including himself, we're all a bunch of little kids when it comes to the knowledge of God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that our God, the Bible says, is past finding out? That our God is beyond our ability to know all of him now, but later in eternity, it's going to take eons upon eons to get to know him? Aren't you glad that you serve that kind of a God, unlike the gods of the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses who will tell you everything about their God? They know everything about him because he's such a little, little God. Our God is so great. He's unsearchable. He's fantastic. The word truly applies, he is awesome. John says we are little children in regards to our knowledge of him. And it is the last hour. And I want to ask you, are you living like it's the last hour? We talked about that on Sunday. Us getting accountable one to another, and we're going to do it. Us men, we're going to get together. We're going to be accountable. Why? It's the last hour. We need to be ready. The second thing we saw last time is that the evil days are escalating. He said, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. That's a reference to the person, the Antichrist. Yeah, he is coming. Evil days are escalating, worse and worse. By the way, nowhere in Scripture is the church instructed to watch out for the coming of the Antichrist. Did you know that? Nowhere. The church is instructed and, in fact, commanded to watch out for Jesus Christ and be ready for his coming, but the church is never instructed to watch out for the Antichrist. Why? We won't be here. We'll talk more on that in a moment. We look for our salvation to be complete. Yes, we are saved. Yes, though, in a true theological sense, our salvation will be complete the moment Christ takes the church home. In Hebrews 9:28, great verse. I'd love for you to commit this to memory. In Hebrews 9:28, the scripture says there, that so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin. Why? Well, that's because the sin question's already been dealt with. Apart from sin, for salvation. So that's exciting. That's great to know. Also, we saw that there needs to be an alert in our minds against imposters. He went on to say, even now, many antichrists, plural, not the antichrist, but there are those acting in his spirit, that they have come. The word even now in the Greek, it means that they are present now and they will continue to come hereafter. You ever been on the beach? You ever been out there in the waves? My goodness, about a week ago, Ashley and I went down to the beach, went down just north to Huntington to take the surfboard out there. And the storm from down south was so rough, it was so turbulent, that we couldn't even get to the breakers out there because the current was so strong going right to left or south to north that we had moved in a matter of moments well over a half mile north. It was so powerful. And those waves just relentlessly came. That's the word here. Even now, there's this, the Antichrist are coming like waves, just coming again and again and again. Now, you may not think so because we're kind of sheltered in America. But other places, these nuts are coming out of the woodwork. I was up in Santa Barbara last weekend. We were speaking at two different studies there, a singles ministry and then a men's ministry up there in the Santa Barbara area. And a man had told me, he said, do you know Santa Barbara is a city in all of America that spends more money on Halloween than any other city in America? And that there are more messiahs living in Santa Barbara than any other place in the state of California. If you want to meet Moses, you can go meet him. He's only 2.5 hours from here. He's in Santa Barbara. Jesus lives in Santa Barbara? Oh, they're all there. Bunch of nuts. Crazies. Just, it's a nice place to be crazy. But it's coming more and more. You know, Oregon, for some reason, Oregon breeds nuts. Now, Oregonians will tell you that they come from California. I don't think that's true. I think they're homegrown there. But remember, up in Oregon, there was Rajneesh, remember? Bhagwan, the God man, Rajneesh. And then, I can't say his name right, but it fits, Shreej Bambi. Remember him? Shreej Bambi? He was up in Oregon running around the woods there. This guy thought he was it. What a neat ministry he had. He said, hey, give me all of your possessions. They're really burdening you. They take up all your time. You're worried about them? And you know who flocked to this nut? Doctors, attorneys, movie stars. Gave them all their money, and he said, now I'll worry about your money for you. Go free. Go. Go. And they did. And he made millions and millions of bucks. What a nut. Hey, this is just the beginning of the fruits and nuts, these things coming. John says they're going to come like waves. Are you and I ready to meet them? When they knock on our door, are we ready to meet them? I have two concerns when somebody knocks on my door. A, I want to stop their damnable doctrine. B, I want to share Jesus with them personally because they've been duped. Your heart is founded on the everlasting gospel, not the words of men. Aren't you glad? We saw also regarding our time together that in verse 18 it says, by which we know that it is the last hour. How? How is that? How do we know that it's the last hour? Because of these antichrists that are in the world, that are coming even more and more. And this is kind of an interesting thing, but we need to be encouraged by their constant coming. The Christian can be encouraged by their constant coming. It's proof positive that you and I are living in the last days. Jesus said that when the disciples, remember, they took him and they had heard this announcement. He said, I tell you, not one of these stones of the temple area will be left on top of the other. And then it says the disciples took him and they sat opposite on the south side of Olivet. And they asked him privately, they said, what will be the sign of these things? And when will these things be? And the sign of your coming? They asked him three very key questions. The very first thing Jesus said, what he didn't say. He didn't say, keep your eye on the USE in Europe. He didn't say, keep your eye on a cashless society. He didn't say anything like that. He said, be careful that men do not deceive you, for many false prophets will come. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but that galvanizes my heart immediately. There's the false and there's the true. Yet even because of the presence of the false, I know that my Bible's true. Because when someone knocks on my door, I can say, it's so good to see you. My Bible told me you were going to be here. That's how sure we are in this wonderful word of ours. So let's look right now. We'll go as fast as we can. If we don't get done, then we'll just do this next week. It's okay. We're going to look at 10 considerations about the spirit and person of the Antichrist. The spirit and the person of the Antichrist. If you're taking notes, jot this down if you would. What is it to be Antichrist? The first thing is, what is it to be Antichrist? Number one, it is to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. We touched on that before, but mainly to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. If you have been told, if you are buying this doctrine that is said that you can become a god, then you are denying the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, no, I'm not, because I'm going to be like him. No, the Bible says there is only one of who he is. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, 41, 42, and 44, God says, I am God. There is no God. There wasn't one before me. There won't be one after me. There is no God but me. The cults and all of them have this in agreement. They diminish or devalue the deity of Jesus Christ. That's their common key. John 1, 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. John 1:14 says, Jesus is the only one. There won't be another Jesus. Paul warns us in Corinthians, be careful when someone comes and preaches what? Another gospel and another Jesus. My goodness, we've had that instruction for 2,000 years. And yet people say, oh, we've got a new path. We've got a new way. And we've got a new Jesus. John 1:18. In John 1:18, there the scripture says, no one has seen God at any time except the only begotten Son. It is he who has declared him. Jesus is altogether unique, and yet the cults and the occult would pull him down and make him very common. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to give you lots of verses. I warned you last week about this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets among the people in those days, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. That's tragic. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul says there, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, of whom you have not preached, or receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted," he says, "you may well put up with it." He's warning them, you better watch out, because these false announcements are going out there into the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. "Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the one and only. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son." Those are strong words, aren't they? I think so. 1 John chapter 4. "Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist." Wow. I tell you, that hits you right there with the Jehovah's Witnesses at your front door. 2 John 1, verse 7. 2 John 1, 7. Says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as having come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." An antichrist is somebody who may be very, very knowledgeable about what they're saying, or somebody who's very ill-informed. Maybe an ignorant. Someone's been brought up in a cult, or maybe not brought up in anything at all, but they're saying, "Oh, I think Jesus was just one of the enlightened ones." That is the phraseology and the terminology of the spirit of Antichrist. There is a spirit that is permeating the world more and more. It's increasing. Listen, I refuse to take political sides. I think the whole thing is absolutely corrupt and hopeless without God. I vote for the at least at that moment, the guy that I think is least criminal. I have to vote for the, at least my perception of the lesser of the two evils. That's sad. So I'm not promoting one thing or the other, but I remember a time when I was a kid that what we hear today on TV coming out of the White House or coming out of government would never have been mentioned back then, because first of all, the nation wouldn't tolerate such words on TV.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through a section of 1 John chapter 2. It's a mini-series that examines verses 18 and 19. It's one of the passages in this letter where the apostle warns true believers to watch out for Antichrist, singular, and Antichrists, plural. The title, "Who is Antichrist?" "Who is Antichrist?" is actually a series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at these three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Also, since we're nearing the close of 2013 and you may be looking for a place to send your year-end gift, remember that we're making available the book by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs called Turnaround at Home. We'll send you Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's all yours for your gift of any amount toward the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write, but do it as soon as you can. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the brand new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number again, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.